ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ So the topic that is going on in this portion of the Bhagavad Gita is realization through karma. And so which is very, very close to our hearts because we are all householders. And generally there is a feeling among householders, oh, I cannot go to the ashram, and maybe if I had a chance to go to the ashram and do the course, then maybe I could have realized. And that's not true. This is what Bhagavan is now trying to tell Arjun, that Arjun, you don't have to leave the war and go to a forest to realize. You can realize while doing the war, while fighting the war, you can realize. And that's what it is. Like doing our day-to-day duties, Bhagavan is giving us a method while doing our own duties. Nothing special, nothing like I take on something, I'll serve in the temple, I'll serve here, there, nothing like that. My own duties which are ordained to me, even those, just doing those, while doing those, he's giving us a method in which our thoughts should be. And as per that attitude, if we have the correct attitude, we can realize the self. That is what is the most important part about this. So it totally relates to us because this is realization through karma. And in chapter 3, he gave us the preparatory steps, which are of karma yoga. So yes, you have your ordained duties. Yes, you cannot leave your household and go away anywhere. Fine. You do your duties. Just same action outside, inside. Change your line of thinking. So when you do it as an offering to the Lord, as a duty, without attachment to the result as well as the karma, when you and accept the results as they come without any complaints, then Bhagavan says that same work is going to purify it. Purification of mind, it is not of the body. If your mind, it's like this, people say, oh, when I go to Uttarkashi, my mind becomes very calm. No. If your mind is not calm in Bombay, it is not going to be calm in Uttarkashi. Mind has to be, it is your mind. It is inside you. It will not, what Uttarkashi has got to do with it? Or whatever has got to do with it? No. Even if it calms down for some time, by when you come back, it is going to go back. So while living here, in the din and roar of your everyday life and everyday work, you must try and achieve that calmness. And that can only be done through karma yoga. So you cannot run away from karma and expect to get peace of mind. That's what Arjun was trying to do. Then Bhagavan would have said, okay, let us both go and sit and meditate. That's not what Bhagavan told him. He said, no, while you're fighting the war, you gain the calmness. And so in chapter 3, he prepares us by giving us the principles of karma yoga. And then in chapter 4, he gives us the principle how to see the non-doer substratum, the verse 18, seeing inaction in action and action in inaction. So he says, when your mind is purified enough, you will see that there is an underlying substratum which is actually not doing anything. And you will come to realize that whatever actions that you're doing and whatever so far you thought I am doing, is not actually, you're not the one that's doing it. So that realization will start coming. And that realization will fructify. That's chapter 5 is the fructification of it. It is a complete realization in the knowledge, in that identification with that substratum. So all the time actions outside are going on. Whatever actions that were being done, they are all going on outside as is. whereas the shift is happening within. And that's why you just now mentioned verse 10 is when you karmani sangam tyaktva karotiha, when you give up attachment to the action itself and then to the result that is going to come to you, then this karma will not taint you. This is the idea of karma, is through idea of getting realization through karma. You do the karma, you do the action, but let it not touch you. You remain like that lotus leaf which remains in water, and it still does not get wet by the water. And then Bhagwan went on to say that the yogis, so here the yogis, the spiritual practitioners who have purified their mind to a great extent by, and this yogi is not the one who has run away into the forest or gone into the forest or gone into an ashram and sat and meditated and, you know, just studied under a guru. No. This yogi is the one who has done, is doing even now his day-to-day life. He's living his day-to-day life, maybe as a householder, maybe as whatever that it is. But he is doing it now without attachment. So he performs actions by the body, mind, and intellect, knowing fully well that it is Prakriti which is doing all this and I am untouched. And then this is how his mind is getting more and more and more purified. And then the one who karma phale tyaktva, yukta karma phale tyaktva, means he is getting attached to getting detached from the karma phala. Okay, so he is not getting attached to this karma phala. So, and then that is what he gets, naishtikim shantim apnoti. So a great peace of mind he gets. But the ayukta, the one who is not understanding these attitudes of the mind, kama karena, because of his desires, because he has a lot of desires gurgling in his mind, he has also attachment to the results. And because of that, he is getting more and more and more bound. Then in verse 13, the man who sees the Supreme Being, so who is actually realized, because we saw in this, he has realized that there is a substratum. He says, very aram, say very easily he's staying in this body, this city of nine gates, knowing fully well that whatever is happening and I am not doing anything. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasaste sukham vashi. Sukham here is not happy, but easily. He's staying without any agitation, without any worries, without any attachment. The minute you give up attachment, every other thing is a byproduct of that attachment. That's what Dhyayato Vishyant Punsa Bhagwan said in chapter 2. Like this thinking about an object creates attachment, and then the whole gamut of, then that attachment is giving desire, then desire unfulfilled is giving anger, fulfilled is giving greed, anger is giving loss of memory, delusion, etc. So the whole thing starts with this one thing called attachment. And we've completed 14 last time. So this is the jiva, neither does the Lord create. So this is from the standpoint of the jiva. So from our standpoint, that we must understand what we do is we blame God for when anything wrong happens, we blame God. When sorrows come to us, we say, why did God do this to me? This is to explain to us that no, God is not really doing anything. We are only getting whatever is meant for us, whatever actions we have done in the past because of that. So neither agency nor actions does the Lord create. So he is not acting. He's not making us act. What is meant by neither agency means I may not kill somebody, but I might hire an assassin to kill. So it's my agency, but I'm not actually doing it. I'm actually not doing it. I'm making somebody else do it, but I have told him. So Bhagwan doesn't even do that. He doesn't do that, and he himself doesn't do anything. And it is nature that acts, Prakriti. And I told you how Prakriti acts. Prakriti is of the nature of sattva, rajas, and tamas. And these three gunas interact amongst themselves. For any action to be performed, these three are all required. An action cannot be performed without tamas, the inert matter. When I'm speaking, I need the knowledge to speak, which is sattva. I need rajas, which is the actual speaking that is coming out of rajas. It is not coming out. The material that I'm speaking is coming out of sattva. The material could become rajasic if I start telling you a story about a movie. Okay, so the material can become sattvic or rajasic or tamasic. If I started speaking something which is totally nonsense, then that again is this thing. But when we are talking, the knowledge is coming out of sattva, the speaking itself is coming out of rajas, and I am using my inert body. So I'm using tamas. If I did not have this body, or if I did not have the vocal cords, then I wouldn't have had tamas and I wouldn't have been able to speak. So all three gunas are therefore required. Therefore, we can never say that, oh, I must get rid of tamas totally. You cannot get rid of tamas totally. You need it. Okay? So this is what Bhagwan has said. Now 15 is from the standpoint of the absolute reality, from the standpoint of Bhagwan himself. Nadatekasya chit papam nachaiva sukrutam vibuhu adnyanena vrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantavah. The Lord takes neither the demerit nor even the merit of any. Knowledge is enveloped by ignorance, thereby beings are deluded. Okay, so one word is used is vibhuhu, vibhavati iti vibhuhu, all pervasive, meaning all pervasive Lord, he is all pervasive. Jantavaha is actually literal translation is insects. Jantu is insect. Bhagwan Shankaracharya is in his commentaries calls all us living beings, ignorant beings, as these little insects who are, you know, going up and down in the whirlpool of sansar. They don't know what is happening and they just go round and round in the cycle of birth and death. So, but beings here, jantavaha, we must take it as beings and human beings only, because karma, I told you already that animals do not have a choice of karma. They live by instinct. We do. That's what. Okay. Now, na adatya. Adatya actually is to eat, but it takes. Here we should say taking in. Adatya is to take in. So he doesn't take kasya chit papam na chaiva sukratum vibhu. So he does not take credit for anything. See, when the sun is shining, in that sunlight, there could be a satsang going on, and at the same time, there could be a theft going on, or a murder going on, or something wrong which is going on, right? So you cannot blame the sun for the bad that is going on, but and also you cannot give him credit for the good that is going on, because he is only shining because that is his nature. His nature is to give light wherever he is, whenever he is. And he's doing that. Now in that light, what is happening is no blame of his. It's like a cab driver also. A fare gets in and says, okay, I want to go to this temple. So the cab says, okay, fine. He will get his fare. He will take him there. He'll drop him at the temple. The next person that gets into the cab will say, I have to go to the bar. Take me to the bar. Now, the cab driver's job is to drive his fare. He'll take the money and he'll drive wherever he says. So the cab driver is neither getting the merit of the temple, nor is he getting the merit of the demerit of the bar. Okay, the person who is driving is getting the merit or the demerit. So same way here in the presence of the Lord. Now, without the presence of the Lord, no action can happen. These gunas, prakriti, cannot act without the presence of the Lord. Okay, but just because the presence is required doesn't mean the presence becomes good or bad. The presence is required to act, but if anything good is done or if anything bad is done, then that result will go to the one who is the doer. That is what I meant by the fourth. Now, if there is a doer in me who is thinking that I am doing good or who is thinking that I am doing bad, then that karma phala will come to me. So as a spiritual practitioner, as a spiritual seeker, my attempt, my pursuit, my prayatna, my self-effort should be that I should not create that doer. Understand? I should not, how do I not create the doer? Is by not expecting any kind of result. So if I can maintain that, then the doer is not created. So neither is that karma phala going to the Lord, because he is the non-doer. He never did anything. How would he take it? It's not going to me either. So it goes to Prakriti. It merges. That is the idea. So here, this is what Bhagwan is. See, from my standpoint, Bhagwan says, in verse 14, he said, from the standpoint of the jivas, from our standpoint, we must not take any kind of doership or enjoyership. And that doership, Bhagwan also is not taking. We also should not take. That is the correct path of karma. That is the correct way. But, and in any case, even if I take up the doership, Bhagwan will never take doership. There is no doership to Bhagwan. Okay? It's all up to me. Do I want to take the doership and enjoyership, or do I want to give it? That is up to me. And why am I doing this? So that's why the next line says, Ajnane avritam jnanam. This avritam, there is a veiling of ignorance on the knowledge. Okay, and thereby the beings are deluded. So next one he will say when the ignorance comes out. So the jnana in this context, now see, when we say knowledge of the self, okay, that is one definition of knowledge. Knowledge of the highest self, knowledge that, I am that Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, that is one knowledge. But in these chapters, these three chapters, the topic of karma is going on. So from the karma point of view, this jnanam word should be interpreted as that karma is happening, but I am not doing it. That is then becomes knowledge. There is that knowledge, Aham Brahmasmi, that is also knowledge, okay? That also we are not saying. That is like in second chapter, those beginning verses when Bhagwan told, that was that, Aham, you are that substratum which daughter. But now the topic of karma. So what is the jnana in karma that I should know? The jnana in karma that I should know is that I am not doing this karma. It is happening because of the interaction of the gunas. That jnana I should have. And this jnana I don't have. So this is the ignorance. I don't realize that actions are happening because of the play of Prakriti. That is my ignorance. That is my ignorance. Okay. And this is what is covering up this knowledge. This ignorance is what is covering this. And ignorance is only a thought. Okay. Ignorance means that covering means there's not like any covering on my eyes or anything. But in my mind, I have this veiling. This covering, which because of which the beings are deluded, and because of which what happens is, because of this delusion, is they go on doing karma thinking that they are the doer, and they get more and more and more bound. That's why in the previous verse he said ayuktam. The ayuktam is the one who is ignorant of the fact that there is a substratum which is a non-doer. So he goes on doing actions and he thinks that because I have done that action, I have got this result, and because I have done the action, I'm going to enjoy the result as well. So he thinks he's the doer and the enjoyer. That is the ignorance here in this context. Okay? Now, Jnanena tu tadajnanam yesham nashitam atmanah tesham adityavajnanam prakashayati tatparam. But to those whose ignorance is destroyed by the knowledge of the self, like the sun, to them knowledge reveals the supreme Brahman. So those whose ignorance is destroyed. So let's take up this. One thing to be understood is this ignorance is there. Okay. Can it be really destroyed? That we have to understand. See, you can destroy a thing which is actually there. Okay. So if there is a real snake in the room, if really there is a snake, I can destroy it. But if I walk into the room and I now see a snake, which is actually a rope. So when I see the rope, when I realize the rope, can I say that I destroyed the snake? It wasn't even there in the first place. Okay. It was a superimposition. It wasn't, it's like the mirage waters. You know, I see the mirage waters. I go there because I think there is water there. Then I realize it is only sand. Does it mean that I destroyed the water? How can I destroy something which was not there to begin with? So therefore, this ignorance is destroyed. Ignorance also, please understand, ignorance is Maya. Maya is described as Sama Iti Maya, that which is not. So this ignorance actually is not there, because you know why? It's like if we say ignorance is there, we would then have to say that there is darkness when the sun is shining. Can there be darkness when the sun is shining? Can't. So when, if the all-pervading Brahman is always with us, it's all-pervading and constantly with us, how can ignorance stand a chance? If the sun is, like you go on the North Pole, 6 months, if the sun is only going to shine in the sky, how you can, where is the darkness then there? How can darkness remain? Same way, we have to understand that we do talk about, Bhagwan did say that ignorance is veiling, but actually in actuality, there is really no ignorance. It is my wrong thinking. The minute I correct my wrong thinking. So this ignorance is not destroyed, it's falsified. It should be taken as falsified. Like the snake on the rope gets falsified when I see the rope. And it will never come back again. I would never get deluded again. Okay? So when this ignorance is falsified, it is, right now I think it is there. It is like the dream. I think that the dream is very, very real and it gets falsified when I wake up. So same way, this ignorance, I think it is there. It, because see, one definition, I mean, the ultimate definition of what is real and unreal, the real is that which cannot be negated in the three periods of time. I've told you this before, right? That which cannot be negated in the past, pratrikala abhadit satya, which cannot be falsified, which cannot be negated in the past, present or future. Now, if this ignorance I'm saying I'm destroying, and sometime in the future, then it has to be real then. Like it wasn't, it is not existing. If it was, if it can be destroyed, how can we call it as real? Even to right now, if I think that it is real, but there is a hope that in sometime in the future, I'll destroy it or falsify it. If it was really real, it can never be falsified. Please understand. Okay. This ignorance, which is being said, is destroyed. One thing, it is falsified. Second thing, it really was never there. Because if it really was existing, we could never have destroyed it. We cannot give up something which is there. That is why my existence principle, I can never give up. I can give up every other thing which I've acquired, but what is my natural state, I can never give up. So my existence, consciousness, bliss principle, I can never give up, but I can give up my name, I can give up my body, I can give up my anything else which I have acquired, I can give up my degrees, my job, everything I can give up. Okay? So when it is said that those whose ignorance is destroyed, for those who, for whom the snake has been falsified, for whom the ignorance has been falsified by the knowledge of the self, because now they have come to realize themselves to be that substratum, like the sun, to them knowledge reveals the supreme. Knowledge reveals means understand that there is not this knowledge over here and Brahman over here and now this is shining. No, it's not like that. It's like when you remove the clouds, the sun shines by itself. So knowledge itself is Brahman. Knowledge reveals Brahman. Don't think Brahman is somewhere there and then knowledge, oh, there is Brahman, you see it. No, it's not like that. The knowledge itself is Brahman. Okay, you can, knowledge and Brahman are not separate. They are one and the same. It happens simultaneously. This jnana, this tattva jnana, or this knowledge of the substratum, reveals, should not be taken as it is the supreme Brahman, and this is what will happen for those whose ignorance has been falsified. Never can it get destroyed per se, because it cannot get destroyed, because it isn't there even now. It's like this, the dream. I dream, while I'm dreaming, I think that it is extremely real. Then when I wake up, I come to know that it is false. But does that mean that while I was dreaming, it was true? No. Because if while dreaming, if I say it was really real, then it should never have been negated when I woke up. The very fact that I negated it upon waking up tells me, or should tell me, that even while I was dreaming, it was false only. All right? Either you totally know this concept and everybody is very comfortable with it. Okay. Let's go ahead. If there are there any questions? Anybody has any questions? Or shall we go ahead? Okay.
Tadbuddhayastadatmanaha tannishthatatparayanaha gacchantyapunaravrittim jnanadirdhutakalmashaha.
Intellect absorbed in that, their self being that, established in that, with that for their supreme goal, they go whence there is no return, their sins dispelled by knowledge. So this by them is the yogis, the spiritual practitioners. And what are they doing? Tad buddhaya, tad that, the supreme reality. So buddhaya here, intellect. Where is the intellect? Where the intellect has made the supreme reality as the ultimate goal. Means the intellect is totally convinced that my goal is to reach the supreme self. Okay, so tad buddhaya means where the buddhi is constantly thinking of that and that goal alone. It's like the Olympic athletes, when they start practicing for the Olympics, now 2020 Summer Olympics are coming up, their intellect is only on the gold medal. It is never, nobody can win the gold medal if they're thinking, okay, I'll just take part, it's okay. No, each and every one of them has their intellect in that gold medal. And that's why one of them reaches there. That's it's same here. That's why in 7th chapter Bhagavan will say thousands and thousands of people try to aspire, but one of them reaches. But all of them, their intellect. So this is what here Bhagavan is saying. Tad buddhayaha. There, that. Tad is that. So that is what is, if that buddhi is in the material world, he will reach the material. He will get success in the material world. Wherever the buddhi decides, you know, that this is my goal. Without any doubt, when the buddhi says, no, this is my goal and this is what I want. You see that in your secular life. When you say that you want to go after a thing, if you put enough practice towards it, you will go there. You will reach there. So same way here, this buddhi, this intellect is now putting enough effort to reach that supreme reality. Tad atmanam. Here, atmanam is not pure self. It is the mind. Because tad atmanam, if you take atmanam to be the pure self, then what, pure self wants pure self? No, that doesn't make sense. It is the mind. So those whose mind is also identified with the, means the mind and intellect are together. The intellect has decided that this is the goal and the mind is willing to follow the intellect. So the mind and intellect are one. And then what happens is when the mind and intellect become one, tan nishtha, that is called as nishtha. Nishtha is abidance. See, when the mind, when the intellect tells us one thing and the mind wants to go the other way, there can never be abidance. Why? Because it's like a tug of war. Intellect is saying, do this. Mind is saying, no. So constantly there is a pull. How can there be abidance when two entities are pulling you in two different directions? But in this case, this yogi, the goal that the intellect has chosen, which is the supreme reality, the mind is fully convinced. That's why we see when the athletes are practicing, the intellect and mind, it has to be. That's why they're eager enough to get up in the morning or go do the effort, put in the practice, go on that specified diet, listen to what the coach is saying. All those things, those are coming at the level of the mind. Because now the intellect has decided I want the gold medal. Now the mind, whatever is being told, whatever is the right things, and they're being told, the mind is doing. So the mind is following the intellect. And mind and intellect, when they become one, it becomes abidance. Now they are abiding in that thought that I want the gold. So here, there they are steadfast, they are intent. And so both mind and intellect walking in the same direction towards the supreme reality. Tat parayanaha. Parayanam is abode. And Para ayanam. Para, para means supreme. So what is this tad now? This is this para ayanam. Ayanam abode. So it's the supreme abode, which is beyond, which is a point of no return. That's why he says, that's why it's called param is supreme. Supreme means there is nothing beyond that. That is supreme. Okay? The highest. So there is nothing beyond that. When the intellect and the mind are one and they abide in that supreme reality, in that parayanaha, parayanaha, gachantam punaravrittim, there is no coming back for them. When they reach, they will reach there. Anybody who puts correct efforts in the right direction will reach that goal, whether it is in the secular field or even in the spiritual field. We may not reach this life, but if we are on the journey, we'll reach in some life. So once they reach there, jnana nirdhuta kalmashah. Kalmash is, Kali Mala word was there in this thing. It's kalmash is impurities. And in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, he talks about five impurities that are associated with every karma. Raga, Dvesha, Asmita, Avidya and Abhinivesh. These are the five he describes. So with karma, they are associated with karma. So raga is attachment and dvesha is aversion or hatred. So with when every karma we do, we have sometimes, you know, or we do only those that we like. I am doing this because I like this. Okay. Now, when I do something out of like, or I not do something out of dislike, I don't like this, so I will not do it. Understand that there is a doer. Anytime any action is done because I like to do it, or any action is not done even, you might think I'm not doing the action, but it is still binding you because it is coming out of ego. That's what we study in chapter 4. So inaction doesn't mean that, yeah, okay, then action binds. So I will not do any action. So how it will bind me? It will still bind you. Because it is your duty and you're refusing to do it. It is coming out of ego. It is coming out of a doership. There is a doer. That non-action, not doing action also will bind you. That is the trick with karma. So raga, dvesha, these are the two impurities. Then there is asmita. Asmita is I-ness. I am doing and I will enjoy. That I, when we have that I. So when the doer is there, the I is always there. But otherwise, there cannot be an I without a doer. When, that's why raga, dvesha come first. Likes and dislikes come first. So the minute they come in, this asmita comes in. Okay. Then abhinivesh. Then there is identification. It's all because of these likes. And that's why they come first. Raga, dvesha, asmita, abhinivesha, avidya. So raga, dvesha, like and dislike creates this I, asmita. And this asmita is what is giving identification. Because then I identify with the result. I identify with the action. So what happens is, when I do the action, when I identify, I get the ego. I did it so well, or I get the guilt. Oops, I didn't do it well. I should have done this. So when that guilt or vanity is there, then also know that there is a doer. How do I know? See, this is the thing. This is a problem. We say that don't create a doer. But okay, then maybe there is no doer at all. So, because the doer, you cannot really see, physically see, is there a doer? But if these thoughts are arising in your mind, then know that there is a doer. And it's extremely subtle. Extremely, I'm telling you, it's very hard to detect. And it really needs a lot of purity and a lot of introspection. You know? So, it's like this, you know. See, somebody is... not well, and this one person is visiting the other person who's not very well, and then every time the person is taking something for the other person, you know, just some little fruit, some little this, some little that, right? And the person who is taking it is the other person is not saying thank you, and this person is also saying, oh no, I'm just doing it because I want to do it, right? Okay, fine. So this, so far so good. and no thank yous are being said and no nothing is being said. Okay, fine. Then one day the person takes something and the other person suddenly retorts, I don't want to take it back. Okay. So anyway, the person says that, no, it's okay. I'll leave it for you and you can eat it and share it with whoever, this, that, and all that. So it's left. And after that, the person though who's taking says that, okay, next time I'm not going to take anything for this, for you. Okay, in the mind, okay, then nothing is said. Other person is also not expecting because other person is also not saying anything. And now this person who has stopped taking things, and nothing, goes, visits, not taking things. Question is, why was the ego so hurt? Because what is hurt is the ego. Okay. If there was absolutely no expectation at all, then even when things like this were said that, no, take it back, there shouldn't have been any hurt. Right? So if there is hurt, then know that there was a doer there somewhere. And even though outwardly there was no expectation of a thank you and a thank you was never ever said also, but somewhere in the very, very subtle recesses of the mind, something was there. Because that hurt should not have been there at all. This is how subtle this doer is. It's very, very subtle and it's extremely hard to detect. That's why the best thing in karma, when you do anything, always say that I want to do it, so I'm doing it. So whether that person appreciates it or not, whether that person says thank you or not, whether that person says I don't want this, you take it back. Okay, I wasn't doing it for you anyways. I was just doing it for myself. If you can take that stance, then you're thinning the doer out. This extremely, extremely subtle point, okay? So in this kalmashaha, this impurities, raga, dvesha, asmita, abhinivesh, that is identity. That's where this, then you come to recognize, was there some identification with the doer? Because why is it then that, you know, I felt bad that this person said, why did I? So this sort of thinking has to be developed. And the last is avidya. So avidya is ignorance, and karma is always born out of ignorance. Any karma. And the reason is there that when I do any action, I do it for some purpose. So any action that is done is for fulfilling some sort of incompleteness. I feel incomplete. Desire arises out of incompleteness. And I am actually complete because I am that pure self. So in actuality, in reality, I should not feel lack of anything in reality. Why? Aham Brahmasmi. I am that pure self. Tattvamasi is what the Guru is telling me. So if I am that pure self and I am that infinite bliss, source of bliss myself, why do I feel this lack? And how I might say, oh, I don't feel any lack, but I'm engaged in karma. So that's why every karma that is done, whether it is a good or bad karma, it is born out of avidya, born out of ignorance. So that avidya also is an impurity. This is, and that's why, because avidya is the impurity, jnana nirdhuta, that's why jnana can take it off. Jnana cannot take away likes and dislikes. Only the opposite. It's like if it is a dark room, only light can help you. If I'm thirsty, only water can help me. Food is not going to help my thirst. So now what happens is, when this jnana arises, now how is it? There are five. Jnana is only taking care of one, avidya. But think about it. If jnana takes care of avidya and avidya goes away, and at that moment of the ignorance going away, I realize myself to be that true self. Okay? Now all of a sudden, I feel totally complete. All of a sudden now, I realize that I myself am the source of bliss. I am happiness myself. If I realize that I am that source, will I have some liking for something which I think is going to give me happiness? Will I have dislike for something which I think is going to give me unhappiness? Because I am now beyond happiness and unhappiness. I am source. I am the source. I am the ultimate source of bliss. How can I have like and dislike? How can I have that asmita? Because that I-ness will totally, the small I will have merged. It's like the salt doll going into the ocean and trying to judge the depth of the ocean. It's not possible. It is going to merge in the ocean. Now I've merged with the infinite. Where will I have this sense of small I? You know, I will. And where can there be an identity? How can that you can identify with something which is other than you? Now that you have realized that you yourself to be the substratum, what else is there anywhere else to identify with? Get it? So by one jnana, all these kalmasha, that's why it's jnana nirdhruta kalmashaha. All of these kalmashas, all of these impurities will be taken care of just one thing. We don't have to do different things. Except remember one thing, for that jnana to arise, the mind has to be very purified. So we start working on raga dvesha by karma yoga. We can work on those, but the ultimate removal will only be with knowledge. There cannot be a complete removal of all the impurities by any other method. Okay, so ultimately when that knowledge will dawn that I am that supreme reality, then there will be karma will happen, but there will be no raga, there will be no dvesha, there will be no asmita, there will be no abhinivesh, and definitely avidya is not there now. Okay, and how will this come about? When the intellect and the mind are totally merged in there and I have total abidance in that. Okay, this is the method. So understand that this can be done while we are in our own home. We don't need the ashram to, you know, think. Thinking is, the mind is with us. Wherever I am, I can think about the Lord, no? I look at the sunrise, I can think about. That's what, I look at the sunset, I think. If something good happens, I say, thank you, Lord. If something bad happens, God, give me the strength. If I can bring this idea of God into every interaction in my life, then I'm constantly thinking about God. Then it becomes very simple. That's why we have the thing of, you know, lighting the lamp early in the morning. When we start a journey, we say, and beginning of class, we chant Sarana Bhavatu. All these are for this only, so that we bring God into every action of our life. Okay, now, the thing is now, okay, this person has, I'm saying this person, I'm not saying I have realized that this person in this verse 17 has realized. Now, what will be his outlook? This is what we need to develop. But what will be his outlook is what Bhagwan is telling in verse 18. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva shvapake cha pandita samadarshinah. Sages look with an equal eye on a Brahmin endowed with learning and humility, on a cow, on an elephant, and even on a dog and an outcast. So, panditaha word is used here. Pandit, we heard word in chapter 2, and that refers to a realized person, a realized master, a jnani, okay? One who has realized his self. And in this context, because this is karma, realize the self through realizing that substratum, which is the non-doer, okay, while doing actions. So that is pandita. Now, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane. So a brahmin who is predominantly sattvic in nature. We saw, have we come across the gunas yet? Yeah, we did, no? Sattva, rajas and tamas. So sattva is one. Vidya vinaya sampanna. So vidya, knowledge, vinaya, humility. So he is sampanna, endowed with. So any person, not Brahmin means not by birth, any person who has this humility, who has this knowledge, whose mind is calm enough, is Vidya Vinaya Sampan, and he is considered to be a sattvic person. So it's a person. Then Gavi is guy, guy is cow. Cow also among the animals is considered to be a sattvic animal. You know, she's not very, she's vegetarian, she's very calm, and all milk and ghee and all whatever she gives is used for our prayers and all that. So Gavi, guy, is considered to be sattvic. Hastini is Hathi, elephant. Elephant is considered to be tamas. Slowly it will walk and, you know, considered to be a tamasic, this thing. Shuni is a dog. Am I right? Yeah. Yeah. Shuni on a dog. Yeah. Dog. And dog is considered to be rajasic. See how it's always wagging its tail. Very active, you know, very always moving around, this, that. Idea here is what is being said is samadarshinaha. So sama, equanimous darshina, see. So he looks upon a Brahmin, a cow, a elephant, dog, and shwapake. Pake is to cook and shwa is dog. So shwapake becomes a dog eater. Believe it or not, in Vietnam, there are people who eat dogs. I mean, I'm sure there are other places, but Vietnam I've seen. So the one, and so he's considered as a chandal or a low caste, outcast person. But the realized master looks upon them with the same eyes equally. And the reason is because he has now understood that they are all nothing but the Supreme Self. And their behavior in the outside world is being guided by the gunas. So one who is predominantly sattvic is showing qualities of vidya and vinaya, knowledge and humility. One who is, even if in an animal body, can be sattvic or tamasic, and dog rajasic, and this dog eater. So Brahmin, very sattvic. Dog eater, very low caste. So even if they are in different upadhis, different types of bodies, the substratum in them and the substratum in me. The self in me is the self in all. That is what he has realized. And therefore, he is able to look at them samadarshinaha, with equanimous eyes. There is an objection here in Shankar Bhasha, and Guruji has mentioned it also. Says that in one of the smritis, it is said that you must not give respect to a person who does not deserve respect, and you must give enough respect to a person who deserves it. So there is an objection that is raised in the Bhasha. It is there, Nanu, you know, so Puropakshi is there. He says, but Smriti says, so how come you're saying that this wise person looks at them, the dog eater should not be given that much respect as the Brahmin? Because in this case, he is looking at, it's a Brahmin or a dog eater, it's the same for him. So how can that be? That is the objection that is raised. Now that objection Bhagwan will answer in the next one, which we will take up next time. My throat is really hurting. The idea is, I'll give you an idea. The idea is that this person who is realized is looking at the substratum. So he's looking at something totally different. Whereas for the ignorant people, for us, then that instruction in the Smriti is meant for people like us. Ignorant people who are unable to see the substratum. Then in that case, in the sense, if it's a dog, not dog, you know, like with low, it's not by birth, but there are some people, if they don't take shower, if they're not clean, now you can't put him next to a Brahmin who's now eating, you're serving food or you're having some prayers, and somebody who has not taken a shower. If, you know, I probably wouldn't let my own children in the room if they had not showered. So it's not that way. We should not mistake it like that. So that is the idea, you know, that when they, some hygiene is to be maintained, some level of cleanliness is to be maintained. So that sort of thing. But for a realized person, these rules in the Smriti, these do's and don'ts, they don't apply to realized people. What applies to us does not apply to them. Because now they are at a different level. They are in a different state of consciousness from where they are looking at something totally different, which we cannot. We cannot envision that. So that is the lines in which this will go. I'm going to stop here because my throat is really bothering me today. But if there are any questions, we have some time. So we can...
This whole chapter continuing from Karma Yoga is like a necklace with little pearls. Every stanza has one little idea exposed, you know, which connects to the next. And then if you don't understand the first, then you can't understand the second, and then it goes on. It is like extremely connected in the ideas. And then the first half is for the students or whoever is. And then secondly, it starts with the supreme reality. And then so I think for samsaris like us, this is really important, you know, to know the connection, because we are doing everyday karma. We can't be without karma. How we do the quality, you know, which we do.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense, but it's really hard. It's easy to read, but like you said.
But that's why we keep on reading. And, you know, even a little bit of practice when you do, then you will see the result. Then the practice becomes easy. Oh, you know, I really practice this, any one principle. And when you really truly practice, and like I said, you know, do it for your own self, not to show anybody else or anything. Your own peace of mind will increase. Yeah. Then you will understand the importance of that practice and you will stay with it. And once you do one practice, the others will automatically follow. They just follow, you know. So it'll come. I know it is not easy. That's why we have to do this weekly lesson. If it was that easy, we would have done one lesson and finished it, right? That's why we do a lot of, there is a lot of repetition, but we need it. Because it's like the hammering we need. So that if you forget one point, then at least the other point is coming up, you know. Yeah. I can't hear.
I have a question, Jiaji.
Yeah.
You were saying that every karma is born out of avidya. I'm a little bit confused about that. I'm thinking, what about the karma, that the actions that we do as part of being a householder?
Okay. See, Bhavi said, what is the genesis of karma? If you remember this Gurudev's chart, the Om and the V for Vasanas, the BMI, OET, PFT. See, how is karma originating? What is the origin? What is the source of karma? The source of karma is said to be in that level V, Vasanas, Vasana level, okay? Which itself, the name is Avidya only of that level. The name is Avidya, Maya, Ajnan, deep sleep, right? In deep sleep, we don't know anything. So in that vasanas which we have collected, sanchita karma, which we have collected over many, many births, that vasana alone can trigger a thought. If there is a vasana, then only that thought can come in the mind. Thought cannot come in the mind if that vasana is not there. If I do not have a vasana for smoking, I would never in my life think that, oh, maybe I should have a cigarette, or somebody else is smoking, it is so nice. It won't come. On the other hand, if anybody offers me a cup of tea, I would say, yes, I will take it, right? Because that vasana is there. So thought in the vasana at the subtle level creates a desire in the intellect. And that desire creates an agitation in the mind. And then that agitation prompts the body to act. Okay? This is the genesis of karma. So karma is coming, because it is coming out of the ajnana level, vasana level, we say that karma, every karma is born out of ignorance. Now, when you say that I have these duties as a householder, the ignorance is that I am actually not even a householder in actuality. I am that substratum. So there itself is the ignorance. When I think that I am a householder, now I have this duty. So if I don't do it, I feel guilty. That is the level of that ignorance. So that's why what Bhagwan is saying is, but most of us are householders. So that's why Bhagwan has given these chapters. Okay, you're householders, no? Now you identify with that non-doer. Now that becomes the knowledge. That there is a substratum. That's why this Pandita, Samadarshina, that is why he can look upon the, he's allowed also. Even though Smriti says that the dog eater and the Brahmin should not be given equal respect, the realized person goes above that. We are within those rules because we have not realized this self. When he looks at a Brahmin and he looks at an elephant or a cow or whatever, he doesn't even see the cow or the Brahmin, he only sees the self. So when he sees only that oneness, of course, this it's the same. So it is not like he's giving extra respect to anybody, but who will give respect to whom? Mm-hmm. When I'm the self and you're the self, we are same one self, and who's giving respect to whom? Who sees who? Upanishad says. Once this realization happens, who sees who hears who tastes what? It doesn't. So that's why we always say that karma is born out of ignorance. So what we do is, that is the point, that karma is born out of ignorance. I have no choice but to do karma. Now what to do? Do karma with an attitude which will purify your mind, which will give you. So through karma only make, karma is the culprit, make karma only the antidote for it, the solution for it, the medicine for it. And the way you can make karma the medicine is by changing the attitude in the mind.
Okay.
That will then take you back.
Okay.
It thins the vasanas. So there are not that many desires arising. So karma also reduces them. And withdrawal becomes easy.
Mm-hmm.
If you see Swami Tejomayanji, you know, in one line he just withdrew in one, you know, no administration, right? That, and how much karma he has done. So what he did was that karma for 23, not 23 since he joined, but last 23 years when he was the head, this is how he used that karma to detach.
Mm-hmm.
And now very easily he has dropped it all.
Yeah.
Right? Administration he has totally dropped. He's teaching. So there's no pain. That will happen to us. We'll be able to drop it without feeling guilty. Right now, if I don't do something, I feel guilty. That's why it's ignorance. Take your mind to that level, you will understand that, you know, it's like Raman Maharshi's mother came to him and said, it's your duty as a son to look after me. He didn't say anything to her, but as she was leaving, he sent her a note and he said, everybody is being looked after God. Who am I to look after you, right? So that realization we won't have. If our child says to us, oh, yeah, moves, we'll go, right? That's why it's ignorance. That is knowledge. That's why he was very calm. It was his mother, old. And finally, she came and stayed with him anyways.
Mm-hmm.
In the earlier stages, she did. That was emotional blackmail, right? She did say, you're my son. It's your duty. Because he has reached that. He says, what duty?
Just one more question. You were telling that the way we know there is a doer is when we either feel proud about something or happy about something, or that guilt.
There could be that happy pride.
Yeah, pride.
I did it.
And or guilt.
Guilt.
Yeah, there could be people who are, I do not know, is it because they are spiritually advanced that they don't care? You will come across people in real life who are not bothered by...
Who are not bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But that, see, now this is a very internal thing. Whether they are spiritually advanced or they are that tamasic not to care, we cannot tell.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears, you're very true. It appears on the outside like they are non-doer. But inside, we don't know what is happening.
Yeah.
Because very internal, right? Only I know whether I'm expecting a thank you from somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Outside, I will say no, nothing, or I will not show anything, right? So we don't know. But you're very right. There are people like that. That's why we say that, you know, Vedanta, we must use this knowledge only for our self-improvement. We must make sure that it's not a not caring. Please understand, being not the doer is doesn't mean I don't care and who cares whatever happens. No, no. Then that is coming out of ego. That's not correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Is Aditya's mom there? Or Aditya? Mahadevan is there, but
I am here. That is,
Number? Can you please give me your phone number?
Yeah, 403.
1 minute. One sec. Okay. Yeah.
403.
Yeah.
247.
Yeah.
8004. That okay. is the home. That's a home number. I can give you my cell number also.
I can. You're at home, right?
I'm at home. Yeah.
Can I call you right now?
Yeah. Very much.
Oh, I'll call you.
Or I can call you if you give me the number.
Okay. 604.
One moment. I'll just write it down. 604.
325.
325.